Today on Real Radio.
He provides. And so what Jesus is saying here, verse 24, literally answers the question in verse 17 and 18 of last week when the fool said, "What do I do? What do I do with all my stuff?" Jesus is answering him. You don't build bigger barns. You do what the birds do. You eat for today, and you move on to the next day.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative or gospel written by Luke. In chapter 12, Jesus is approached by a man who had a disagreement with his brother on an inheritance issue. The Messiah responded with strong words. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs to take us through verses 13 through 21 in a presentation called Life According to Whom.
What he's saying is that these temporal things truly do not matter in the grand scheme of things. Why? Because things will fade away. Things will rust out. And regarding food, frankly, they will eventually be eliminated. It doesn't matter. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, mark this verse down. It is amazing. 2 Peter 3, 11, verse 11 and 12 in 2 Peter 3. Therefore, see, Peter even says therefore. Therefore, since all these things, translated today, stuff, will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you and I to be? That is, that we should be people devoted to the Lord and considering things eternal. Holy in our conduct, godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. Everything that you and I have. Look what we're wearing. See this blue shirt? It's dissolving right in front of me. The second law of thermodynamics, entropy, is destroying this shirt right now as you look at it. Did you know that? It's rotting. It is. So is your clothes right now. It's rotting. And the things that you and I might have eaten this morning, what's going on? It's being processed and it is going to rot. It is going to be consumed. It is going to be done away. This building is going to be done away someday. Everything that you and I see in this life, Jesus is saying, don't put too much stock into that and don't go there for your meaning and don't go there for your purpose. Because why? It is going to vanish away. So don't let it control you. How silly would it be to have something like that control you and I? Secondly, what controls your life? Is it in the common things? Is it in the common things? Verse 24, consider, he said, the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, for God feeds them. Of how much value are you than the birds? And I have a lot more verses to read. But do you guys realize verse 24 alone? You realize we read it, and we might even argue, yeah, I believe that. But do you see the word consider? Just like the word therefore? This word is an awesome word because it means you better stop and let this sink in. What sink in? That God feeds the birds. You say, Jack, come on. I mean, that's pretty common of a statement. Can you move on? No, not yet. Because we don't get it. He's saying, but first of all, help me out here. I need your response. You see in your Bible, verse 24, are your letters written in red? You know, the reason why is because Jesus said it. This is the Lord speaking. Your letters written in red, does he not say that you and I are more value than the birds? Okay, can God lie? No. So then this must be true. If it's true coming out of the mouth of God, the question then begs, is it true in our hearts? If that is not happening, then there's a great discrepancy. And why is that? We'll learn in a moment. It's a lack of faith. But do we really believe him? And that's what's tough about you, where you and I live. You see, people in other parts of the world that have next to nothing, they not only believe God, they have to believe God. Let's be honest. We don't have to believe God. Why? Because I have American Express. I don't have to believe in God. I've got Citibank, MasterCard, a savings account. See, it's only after those things are dissolved that I'm challenged in the Western world to believe in God. When you see people in other parts of the world, and maybe in parts of America somewhere, that receive the simplest things because they're in such great need, you see a beautiful appreciation and thankfulness. I'm not saying that you can't be thankful if you have a lot of stuff. We should be, the more thankful. But Jesus is saying, consider this. You are more valuable than birds. And have you ever seen birds walking around panicking? Have you ever seen a bird worrying? They sing in the morning. They sing at night. They fly around the yard and the place and everywhere they go. You have never seen a bird saying, I'll fly for food. You know, I'll catch a worm for you. Just feed me. You say, well, that's ridiculous. That's the whole point. Exactly. You don't see it. God's faithful. He provides. And so what Jesus is saying here, verse 24, literally answers the question in verse 17 and 18 of last week when the fool said, what do I do? What do I do with all my stuff? Jesus is answering him, you don't build bigger barns. You do what the birds do. You eat for today and you move on to the next day. You don't hoard things up. Birds are 100% dependent upon the Lord to feed them every day. And I've never seen a bird starve yet. The Lord is always providing. And mark this, what controls your life? Listen, our God is anything but common. See, if you begin to look at the things that you and I go to work tomorrow, or we get our paycheck, we can start to view those things as common. We can begin to even view our work, our employment as common. And I want to argue with you this morning, if God feeds the birds, that is not a common event. Here's my point. Please grab this. You say, Jack, it happens a bazillion times a day, every day, all around the world. God feeds the birds. Yes. That's why you and I getting a check or getting some food or having a roof over our heads is also not common, though it happens every day of every minute, everywhere around the world, because why? God is providing it, making it a very uncommon thing or a holy, precious thing. It happens all the time, but because it comes from the hands of God, it's not common. But see, we can view things as common and miss it. Well, Pastor, I wish I could believe you, but I'm going to commonly get up and go to work tomorrow to my common job. I'm going to make my common commute and do my common thing, and then I commonly come home from my job. Oh, please don't think like that anymore. In fact, I would venture to say, as a Christian, that's probably a sinful way of thinking. Because you and I get to wake up tomorrow. We get to go to our jobs tomorrow. We get to be involved, and this is what we say. Dear God, I know that if you feed the birds, and because it comes from your hand, it's anything but common. You've got me on the freeway. You've got me to the company or to the job site. I'm here. I'm your child in this location. That is a very uncommon thing. So God, use me greatly today. And what is viewed as common, God will convert and make it into an incredible, uncommon experience for the day. Only God can do that. You see, Jack, you're kind of sounding like you're contradicting yourself. It probably sounds like that. But when you put the Lord in front of all that you do, what looks common to the world becomes uncommon to us because our God's doing a great thing. And it's never common. He's so good. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That is a very uncommon way to live. Thirdly, under this point, what controls your life and mine? Is it the unrealistic things? Is it the unrealistic things? Listen to what he says, verses 25 and 26. Of which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Which of you by worrying can add 18 inches to your height? If you then are not able to do the least, Why are you anxious for the rest? Isn't this great? Why are you worrying? Why do you worry? Again, understand me, church, please. Burdens, concerns of life, things, it's going to happen. We're going to get bad news today or bad news tomorrow to some degree or another. Don't worry, there'll be bad news coming this week. Something's going to happen. And watch this. There's some of you right here this morning who name the name of Jesus, but because I just said that, you are now thinking, oh, he just wished a curse upon me. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, I didn't. But there are those, you know, the glass half full team. Depends on how you look at things. And I got to be honest with you, we look at things often the wrong way. Why? How? Because those views that we have about things often bring about worry. But why do we worry? Birds don't worry. We're created in the image of God. Birds don't worry, so why can I not worry? The answer is, you don't have to worry. Even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of trials, are the things that are unrealistic controlling your life and mine? It's the things that are just not reasonable. Jesus says, you're worrying about something you have no control over. You guys, let's be honest. Okay, I'll be honest for you. I'm the one with the microphone. I'll tell you what goes on in your life and mine. 99% of the stuff we worry about never happens. Then there's stuff that happens instantly. Thank God that we didn't have a chance to worry about. What if God were to say to you, hey, Bill, tomorrow you're going to have this happen, that happen, and the other thing happen. You wouldn't even be able to go to sleep, and then you wouldn't even be able to get out of bed because you'd be worried sick about it because you would focus on that thing instead of what God's going to do in it. It's where we place our focus. I've told you guys this before, but it bears repeating because I see it in my mind all the time about this issue. When I was just a young guy, I was learning how to fly airplanes. I love airplanes. I think you know that. And my instructor, there had been a heavy rain and a little sinkhole, I mean little, like the size of a basketball, had formed at runway 19 left at John Wayne Airport, the left runway. And he said, now, before we get going here, you got to remember, they haven't gotten out there a chance to fix it yet. There's a little sinkhole that happened during the night. So watch out for that. Okay, did you hear what he said to watch out for that? How do you view that? Watch out for it. Well, as a normal civilian type person, it means for me to keep my eyes on it. I got to watch out for that thing. But to a pilot, it means something totally different. So we take off. I fly around. I come in to land, and my instructor is sitting there, and I hit the hole. He didn't say anything. Put up the flaps, full throttle, do a touch and go, come back around. I hit the hole again. I'm not joking. Come back around, come into land, I hit the hole again, 3 times. I mean, that has got to be amazing flying, right? And he was an old man, Ralph Eaton from West Texas. Cowboy boots, looks over at me. He says, how long are you going to hit, or how many times are you going to hit that hole? I said, I'm trying so hard not to hit the hole. And he said, well, where are you looking? I said, as soon as I get on to final approach, I'm looking at the hole so I don't hit the hole. He goes, that's why you're hitting the hole. Don't look at the hole. Look beyond the hole. Yes, sir. Okay. Guess what? Put your eyes 20 feet beyond the hole and you'll never hit the hole again. You'll miss it every time because you're going to land where you're looking. And we can start looking around at things, and if it's these things of our lives that are unrealistic things, but you focused on it, you're going to be hitting its lumps and its bumps, and you'll never get it right. Life is like that. Jesus says, don't worry about things. Stop focusing on the thing and look to me. I'll take care of you. It's completely unrealistic to worry. What is worry? Worry is assuming, you're going to want to write this down. This is free. You ready? Worry is assuming a responsibility that was never intended to be yours. Now, some of you entrepreneurs, you can make a bumper sticker out of that and put on a car. People need to see that today. By the way, it's equal today to a parent telling a child. Imagine grabbing a five-year-old and saying, Johnny, listen, the interest rates are going up. You understand that? If there's one more rate hike, we're going to be homeless. We're going to be on the street pushing a shopping cart. Do you understand me? Total ruin I'm speaking about. You don't tell that to a five-year-old. They're not capable. But they see your concern, and they begin to freak. They don't even know what they're freaking out about. Is that not what we are like? The world says, do you understand? Look how bad this is. And we go, oh, no. What are you worrying about? I'm not exactly sure, but it's really bad. God says, don't do that. Why? We have no power to control it. Now, some people, and I've known people like this, they will worry anyway because they've deceived themselves into thinking that by worrying about it, it makes them, in a deceptive way, think they have control over it. It's a very, very dangerous sin. I can't just give it up. Oh, yeah, you can. And look, you have to give it up over and over again, by the way. But give it up, it'll kill you. A human being, and I think this is absolutely scientifically provable, that a human being was not designed to worry. God created a human being to worship, to serve him, but never to worry. Worry kills us. In 1 Peter, this is a great verse too. You got to write this down. This is awesome. In 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. And by the way, this is coming from a man who, before God got control of his life, he was probably quite a worrier. It's Peter. And he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. I love that. Get under God's hand. Good place to be. That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Anybody prone to worry? Raise your hand. You bunch of liars. Raise your hands. We're all prone to worry. That's why it's in the Bible. 1 Peter 5, 7, and 6. Chapter 5, 6, and 7. Cast all of our cares upon him. The word in the Greek is awesome. It means to toss, to throw, to heave the weight away from you. The Lord is saying, give me the weight. Take it. Some of you might need to go to Target or something to buy a little bean bag or a pillow. And the next time you begin to worry about something, grab it and throw it. Lord, you can have it now. Here it is. Throw it. If I would have been thinking, I would have had a bunch of bean bags. I could have thrown them out here right now. Here's finances and fears and relationships and whatever. Stop worrying about it. Throw it to the feet of God. Let him take care of it. Simple childlike trust and hope and rest in him. Number three, life according to who? What energizes your life? What energizes your life? Verses 27 to 30. Is it your faith in God? I hope so. But is it your faith in God? Verse 27. Here we go again. Consider, circle the word, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. This is funny. And yet I say to you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon doesn't look very good in comparison. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? The word consider here is a great word. Kataneo in the Greek. It means to study, to observe fully, to discover. It has a partner in the Old Testament. To consider, to study, to observe fully, to discover. In Psalm 46, verse 10, we love this verse. The verse means, or the verse says, Psalm 46, 10, be still and know that I am God. Why is that important? The Greek word to consider and the Hebrew word to know are the same word. In Hebrew, it's the word yada. It means to discover. To find out where you're at in life at that very given moment, you are to discover. Are you listening, everybody? In that thing that you're prone to worry about right now, God says, in it, discover me. The word yada means to find him, to discover him, to see him in that thing. Is that not beautiful? Save your money and your health. Take a beanbag, write fear on it, throw it to the Lord and say, Lord, allow me now in this thing to discover you right in the midst of my troubles. Oh God, and listen, I don't know about you guys. This is probably the Jacob part of me. Get the kids in the room too. Hey kids, come on, we're gonna pray. You guys, our family's so used to doing this that when we gather to pray, I kid you not, if you've been to my house, and even if we gather to pray for dinner, come on, let's pray. We'll stand in a circle. Even our dogs come and get in the circle. It's the cool, come on, let's get in a circle. They just come, ding, 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 ding. They sit down. All right, let's pray. Why? Get a crowd. Get the kids. Get the wife. Get the husband. Lord, you have said in your word that when we're in trouble, that we need to discover you right in the midst of it. So Lord, may we see you in the midst of this trouble that we are in. In Jesus' name, amen. And you break up and the dogs go their way and you sit down and you leave it at the throne of God. Why did I say bring the family, get the kids together? Because I believe, again, this is the Jacob part. It comes down to this. Now, Lord, the kids are hearing this. Lord, the kids are watching. For their faith, manifest your presence. Do it for their faith. You say, well, he's not taking care of the thing that I'm involved in. Yes, he is. The answer is that he's not doing it the way you want him to do it. He's doing it better. He's doing it his way. And that's a challenge. Our faith will grow. What energizes your faith? Is it your faith in God? So he says, consider the lilies of the field. And that's just a beautiful thing because church, frankly, the lilies of the field, you don't see them. Jesus is basically announcing, you guys, don't you enjoy the lilies? And they all would have said, yes, even though we're rough, gnarly fishermen, we love those lilies. Our wife, they love when we bring the lilies home. Jesus' point is, have you ever seen the lily plant panicking before it puts out the blossom? It doesn't toil or spin. The word means it's not grunting and sweating. We make it so difficult. We make everything difficult. And then we worry about it. We need to trust him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Life According to Whom? A look at Luke chapter 12 and verses 13 through 21. Part of our journey through this fascinating New Testament gospel written by Dr. Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently we stepped aside from our verse-by-verse through this gospel of Luke and presented Pastor Jack's Being a Christian While on Campus. It's actually part of a greater collection of teachings called the Life in the Bible series. But Being a Christian While on Campus, we thought we would air and offer because of the time of year. Well, we've gotten quite a bit of response on Being a Christian While on Campus, so we've made the decision to extend our offer of sending you on DVD Being a Christian While on Campus for your contribution to the outreach of Real Radio of any amount. The contribution is tax deductible, of course, and you just have to ask for it by name, Being a Christian While on Campus on DVD. More than one way to get in touch, beginning with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to do things the traditional way, here's our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. And in his word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.